In any ministry of consolation or comfort, there must of necessity be the underlying thought of suffering in one form or another, and the children of God are not promised immunity from the various ills to which mankind is subject. On the contrary, we have seen in some of our meditations together that the Lord permits his people to suffer in order to work out in and through them his own loving purposes, both for them and also for those with whom they are brought into contact. He works all things after the counsel of his own will, and that wonderful 8th chapter of the Roman Epistle assures us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not only that, but the Christian is enabled and should take the long-term view and look beyond present conditions to the blessed hope set before us. Let us take our scripture reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 23. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same, in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What an astounding statement that is in verse 17, that the children of God are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 says much the same. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 speaks of the Gentiles being fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ, whilst Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, referring to the Son, says that God has appointed him heir of all things. Then, in Ephesians chapter 1, we are told that in Christ Jesus we have obtained an inheritance and that we have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the surety or pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. In that same chapter, Paul prays for the enlightenment of eyes and hearts, that we may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 calls on us to give thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In view of these repeated assurances as to the inheritance awaiting the saints and faithful in Christ, is it any wonder that Paul could write, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Obviously, he doesn't blink the fact of suffering, and from some of his other writings, especially chapter 11 of the second letter to the Corinthians, we know that few men have had such a first-hand experience of it as he had. But he refused to be under the circumstances, and for the supply of his need, looked to his Saviour, the author and finisher of faith, who, in view of the joy that was set before him, endured. And so in that second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, Paul speaks of being troubled, perplexed, persecuted, downcast, and so on, but he doesn't stop there, for in verse 13 he goes on, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, that though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." More than once, the apostle urged his readers to be followers, or imitators as the Greek word is, of him as he was of Christ. Wouldn't it be good for all of us to take his advice and adopt the viewpoint he took of looking beyond the things of time and space and away from our day-to-day trials, heavy though they may be, and live looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great Saviour God, Jesus Christ. No doubt the psalmist was in some valley of shadows when he cried, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills," and then questioned from whence his help was to come. But he was moved to proclaim that his help came from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth, who neither slumbered nor slept, and who was his keeper, preserving him from all evil. Referring once more to the Apostle Paul, let us heed his exhortation to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3 and verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." What a blessed hope that is.